Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Mr. Allen is producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. He always does a fine job, and not only is he very talented, he's a good guy as well. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, and we are now here at our midweek edition, November the 18th, 2015, coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Live streaming available, two locations, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We have our podcasts and all of our shows, pretty much every show we've done over the last 5 years, available 24/7 on my website, buckmastershow.com. Also, we've got links to the show on the homepages of the TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and Tucson Lifestyle Magazine, TucsonLifestyle.com. Thank you to our media partners for their support of our work. Our monthly conversation with our health contributor, Dr. Victoria Mazes, will be the way we begin the program. Then at about 12:30, Darcy Olson, Miss Olson, heads up the Phoenix-based Goldwater Institute. Darcy has a new book titled The Right to Try, How the Federal Government Prevents Americans from Getting Life-Saving Treatments They Need. Her publisher says this is the book the FDA does not want you to read. We'll hear all about that. The live line number, if you would like to join in the conversation at any time during the hour, we welcome you to do so. 790-2040 is our live line number. My Facebook page is under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and you can also follow us now on Twitter. Trying to do the Twitter thing at Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Dr. Mazes is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is an internationally recognized leader in integrative medicine, and she is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She is the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, Victoria Mazes, that's MAIZESMD.com. And she also does Twitter at V Mazes. Let's welcome now Dr. Mazes on the live line. Victoria, how are you?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Well, this is a very, you know, I always say the fastest 2 months of the year. We hit November, before you know it, it's New Year's Eve. So here we are, a week from tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and we're like about, from right now, about 5 weeks away from Christmas and 6 weeks away from the end of the year. So all of this, just kind of looking at the calendar, not only does it present stress, but I can look at the calendar and it's like I can gain 5 pounds.
Stop eating just those by, calendars,
and
Bill.
I don't understand it, you know. And I weigh myself very religiously every day, and I don't know if there's some kind of a metabolism thing that when the weather gets cooler, maybe we store a little more weight. But anyway, it's a stressful time of year.
It is stressful for many, many people. And, you know, some of it is that we are sort of taught by our culture that everything is supposed to be joyous and wonderful. And we have these expectations that this time with family is just going to be all sweet and happy. And for most people, that's actually not the case. And so, yeah, we have a mismatch often between expectations and experience.
Well, during the half hour, I want to talk about some of the ways we can manage this stress. And it is not a hopeless case by any means. And a lot of the things we are going to talk about, Dr. Mazes, during the next 25 minutes or so are pretty simple fixes, are they not?
Yeah, I mean, I just said, you know, some of what leads to our unhappiness are a mismatch between our expectations and our experience. And so it's good to think about our emotional well-being and maybe do some prevention, do some things that perhaps can realign. You know, we know we always have a tough time with family over the holidays, then maybe it's better to be realistic about having some lovely moments, but maybe not planning to be together the entire time, or accepting our family or our friends for who they are, you know, knowing, perhaps holding a sense of compassion for them. They may also be wrestling with this holiday time that, you know, we're taught is supposed to be this just perfect moment in our lives.
Yeah, and again, you sit down for Thanksgiving dinner, and there are some, I think just about every family has some conflicts, let's face it. But in our mind, Ray is shaking his head on the other side of the glass. No, your family, Ray, you're an exception. No, everything's wonderful, sure. But we do have kind of the Norman Rockwell image in our mind, that wonderful image where Dad is getting ready to carve up the bird and everybody's sitting around the table with a big smile on their face. So what can we do before we go to do a holiday dinner or whatever? Just go into it with just try to keep an open mind and realize that other folks have different opinions.
Yeah, I think open mind is always good.
Okay.
I think that there's a great Buddhist saying that says you should meditate for 20 minutes a day unless you're too busy, and then you should meditate for an hour.
Yeah.
And it's a reminder that during those stressful times, those challenging times, is when we really have to up our practices that help us stay more centered and emotionally healthier. So, you know, for example, one of the ones that really helps me is exercise. So I make sure that during these holiday times that I actually try to increase my exercise a little bit. I have more vacation time, so on some levels I have more time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do take longer walks. I try to spend more time hiking. It's such beautiful weather right now to be outdoors. So to do more of that, if you are someone who meditates, you know, rather than dropping the practice, if you've done 5 or 10 minutes a day, maybe you could do 15 or 20. I think that you mentioned the challenge around food and people gaining weight, and of course that's so common to gain weight over the holidays. So can we practice more mindfulness about our eating and really savor and enjoy those wonderful foods that we may not have every day, but, you know, don't eat them just mindlessly where you don't even notice that you've, you know, consumed, you know, a big piece of chocolate cake or whatever your particular challenging food to stay away from is.
Well, let's start with exercise. And I remember we have talked in the past that it doesn't have to be a lot of walking. I think you have pointed out, Dr. Mazes, that research has shown that if you can go out and do even 12 minutes of walking a day, it's better than certainly nothing.
Absolutely. I think any amount, 2 minutes is better than nothing. Any amount is
yes.
better than nothing. And then you get some cumulative benefit as you do more. But there's a researcher named Sean Acorn who's written about happiness and things, simple ways that we could actually be happier. And one of them he calls the Fun 15, which he says 15 minutes of fun, mindful cardio activity. So a brisk walk or brisk, you know, if you run, then a little bit of a run, or if you swim, to swim kind of a little more quickly, or to go out dancing. But that kind of cardio that raises your heart rate some. But that 15 minutes of exercise is really the equivalent of an antidepressant. And it reduces the risk of recurrence of depression if you've had an issue with depression by 30%. So the benefit of exercise is multiple. I mean, it's on our heart health, it's on maintaining a healthy weight, it's on keeping our bones strong, but also also it's very beneficial in terms of our mood and helping us maintain a happier state of mind.
Getting into that happy state of mind, it's almost expected when you go to a holiday party or when the relatives get together, everybody's supposed to have that big smile on their face. But life is not always about being happy, but life can certainly be about gratitude, can't it?
Yes. So thank you for mentioning gratitude. I think sometimes, you know, when we feel discouraged or disappointed, it is really helpful to focus on some of the positive things in our life. And there are studies that show that less than 2 minutes a day can increase our happiness level, or can increase our sense of optimism. So one of the gratitude practices that is recommended is that we think of three new things we're grateful for that occurred over the past 24 hours. So just as an example for me, my older daughter came into town yesterday, so I'm really happy. You know, she's an adult, she lives in her own home, and I'm really happy that she's here and visiting. So, you know, that's something that's true today. But you have to have three things, and things that are relatively specific. So, you know, if you go outside and you say, oh, it's a beautiful day, well, the weather, the sky is this pure blue, and the air feels really brisk and clear and refreshing, you know, a little different from our typical Tucson. It feels a little more like East Coast weather to me. So, you know, to be particular about those things, but to find those three new things each day, essentially increases our happiness and our sense of optimism.
Should you then write them down?
Well, writing them down can be another wonderful way to intensify them. So that often is a great thing to do, and it can be shared with another person. And so I certainly think writing them down can be fabulous. But here's another writing exercise that Sean Aker has recommended. It's called a conscious act of kindness. I think this is a lovely thing to do around this holiday season. And it turned out in the research that he was looking at, it was the most powerful intervention. And that was to write take 2 minutes to write an email praising or thanking someone for something. Hmm. And he said 2 to 3 sentences maximum, and to do it for 21 days.
Wow.
So, you know, that is a lovely, I think, practice to include, is to be appreciative, not just in your own mind, but as you put it, to write it down and share it with someone else, because that enhances our sense of social connection, which is such an important predictor of our overall long-term happiness, and, you know, can really help create a reduced risk, can help prevent us from ending up in a depressed state.
All right. We'll talk more about managing the holidays with Dr. Victoria Mazes. She joins us once a month. We're grateful that she is with us, so I won't send her an email right now. I'll just tell her, Dr. Mazes, we are so happy that you are on the program today.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do, and stick around. We've got another segment with you. Thanks.
On December 29th, New Year's will come early to Tucson. With ticket sales benefiting local nonprofits, everybody wins at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, December 29th at Arizona Stadium. Details and tickets at azbowlgame.com.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
On December 29th, Tucson will be bowled over. With ticket sales benefiting local nonprofits, everybody wins at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, December 29th at Arizona Stadium. Details and tickets at azbowlgame.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes. She is the executive director of the University of Arizona Bay Center for Integrative Medicine. She's also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes has been talking to us about ways to manage stress during the holidays. And Dr. Mazes, of course, the gifts are a very big component of whether it be Christmas or Hanukkah. So sometimes maybe we can do some reverse giving, I like to call it, rather than thinking about gifts that will be coming to us. How about giving a gift, giving away stuff? In other words, maybe clean out the closets, take some of those cans of food and things that we're not going to be using, and give them to the closest, perhaps church, food pantry, or a Goodwill store. What do you think about that?
I think it's a fabulous recommendation. I think that there's a lot of evidence that volunteering our time to help others, gifting people with other things as opposed to gifting ourselves, is a wonderful way to lift our spirits. Sometimes it makes us feel less isolated, which also can be an issue at the holiday time when it seems like everybody else has loved ones around. If you feel isolated, volunteering, going to work in a soup kitchen, going going to help at one of the shelters can really be a wonderful way to spend the day. And then, as you just described, rather than, you know, buying things for ourselves, donating things that we maybe have in excess, sometimes people will donate to a charity in someone else's name instead of, you know, giving a gift that they may think isn't really necessary. So yes, those are wonderful strategies.
Let's talk about food, you know, along with gifts. Food is a huge component of the holiday. So how do we approach it in a way that the big word restraint comes to the forefront?
Yeah. Well, I think some of them is paying attention broadly to our healthy habits. So being sure that we're getting physical activity, that we're getting enough sleep. Arriving at a party starving is really a bad formula. So sometimes, you know, having a little bit of a healthy snack before you go can be a wonderful strategy for being less starving and then more mindful about what you do eat.
What are some of the foods that might be good substitutes for a lot of the sugary products that we find at Christmas, Dr. Mazes?
Well, I know you know the answer to that.
I do know the answer, but I want to hear you say it.
You're giving me the opportunity
yes,
to speak. So, you know, some of the foods that we know we always want to focus on are vegetables especially and fruits, and to avoid the processed foods, so the foods that are really made primarily out of flour and sugar and processed oils. I mean, those are all going to be the less healthy one. And so, you know, you can get creative with your whole fresh food. Sometimes this time of year you see pomegranate seeds in something. It gives it that nice, crisp burst of sweetness. And, of course, pomegranates are filled with those healthy, anything that's deeply pigmented like pomegranate is going to be full of these healthy phytonutrients that is good for us. So looking at maybe making a special salad that's got pomegranates in or has fennel or has roasted vegetables or just other things that maybe you don't put in a salad that you make every day, but that can be part of a really special meal. And then it's more tempting and more delicious. And, you know, when you get to dessert, I think it's always good to say, sure, I'll have a taste.
Mm-hmm. Right, a little sliver of pie,
yeah.
Perhaps.
Right, yeah. But a taste as opposed to, you know, a really significant portion. So.
Well, one thing that is so life-giving is water, and it flies under the research, or under the radar a lot of times in winter. Of course, in summer here in southern Arizona, everybody carries around, and they should. They should have some kind of container of water. But, you know, I think that many times when we feel hungry, Dr. Mazes, we're actually really thirsty or close to even being dehydrated.
So thank you. I think that's another great tip for the listeners that we do sometimes misinterpret, and being sure that we're drinking plenty of water. On the other hand, sometimes people will go for the smoothies or lots of juices, and the research shows that most people actually don't feel more satiated when they drink a beverage. There's something that happens in our brains when we chew and consume food that needs to be chewed that is different from when we drink a beverage. And so, again, if you're trying to be mindful and watching caloric intake as part of that, be aware that you might want to avoid drinking your calories. So that doesn't just mean sodas, for example, which most people are tuned into, but it could be, you know, the Gatorade-like beverages or the vitamin waters or a smoothie that seems so healthy because it has fresh frozen fruit in it. But the reality is that for most of us, those are extra calories and not replacements for meals.
Let me ask you, I mentioned kind of half-heartedly at the beginning of the interview that when you get on the scale, sometimes when the weather changes and now we're into the winter, it seems like it's a little harder to lose weight. Is there any kind of research that shows that the seasons do influence our weight, Dr. Mazes?
Well, there is interesting research that shows that the temperature can typically, in the summertime when it's very hot out, we actually have less appetite and we eat less and we often just naturally go down in our weight a little bit. And this is without having bikini season on our mind or something like
right,
that.
Right.
And then in the winter, a little extra fat on us is insulation. You know, it actually helps us stay a little warmer. However, the ways in which we now manage indoor temperature with air conditioning in the summertime and with central heating in the winter has made this less true than it once was. So it is not as likely that that just the fluctuations in temperature is the reason, but it may be that our awareness that we are wearing more clothing, you know, that we're not mm-hmm. as much kind of showing off our bodies and really, you know, revealing clothes, makes us a little less conscious about maintaining the weight that we consider our ideal weight.
One thing we haven't touched on, and I do want to touch on it briefly because we are just about out of time, financial stress, Dr. Mays, is a huge factor around the holidays. And, you know, I have heard tips about start in January to start saving for the 2016 holiday season, perhaps. If you put aside a little money every month, you won't have the financial stress to worry about in December.
So I think that's a really important point that you did bring up, because for a lot of people, the stress of the holidays is definitely also the stress of the gift and food shopping. And so your thought about really setting aside a kitty, essentially, that mm-hmm. Would go towards that throughout the year. Another is to really have a budget and stick to it. Because I think sometimes people are just trying to buy happiness, essentially, with gifts. And it turns out that doesn't work so well. And so either planning ahead throughout the year, saving some money aside, or really being able to take a careful look at one's own finances and saying, this is what I can afford, and then sticking to it.
Dr. Mazes, thank you very much. I hope you do have a wonderful holiday season. We will be talking with you in January. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And I'd like to say as well that I am grateful to you, Bill, and to all of the wonderful information that you bring to our communities. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Mazes with us on The Buckmaster Show. You can find out more about her work on her website, victoriamazesmd.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at VMazes. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. I'd like to introduce a few of my friends we do business with and people that I believe make the Tucson area a great place to live.
Brian Jeffries, voice of the Wildcats.
Don Pooley, former PGA Tour player.
John Fina, former Lancer, Wildcat, and Buffalo Bill.
Bob Logan, assistant dean at the U of A College of Science.
John Kaiser with VIP Mortgage.
Dane Wall, president of the YMCA.
John Lewis, president of Commerce Bank of Arizona.
Ryan Hansen, Arizona basketball radio analyst.
Joseph Blair, community leader and founder of Blair Trader Group.
Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books.
Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance.
Wow, this is so great to have wonderful friends like you. You amaze me. This is fantastic.
Diana Cannon, tournament director for the Tucson Association of Realtors Shootout.
Bert Williams with Williams & Associates.
Thanks, all. Arizona Party Run. Your celebration destination. Visit our beautiful showroom on Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We're also live streaming our show at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com, so you don't need to be around a radio. If you're around a computer, you can live stream us anywhere in the world. Well, why are millions of Americans with terminal illnesses dying when promising treatments exist? Why are they routinely being denied access to cutting-edge drugs by their government? What about their right to try to save their own lives? Well, a new book addresses those questions and offers some concrete answers. The book is titled The Right to Try: How the Federal Government Prevents Americans from Getting the Life-Saving Treatments That They Need. The author of the book is Goldwater Institute President Darcy Olson. Darcy chronicles the campaign that she has masterminded to make safe and effective drugs available to those who need them desperately prior to FDA approval via something called the Right to Try legislation. This is a movement that is sweeping the nation one state at a time. Darcy Olson joining us now from Phoenix and the Goldwater Institute on our live line. Darcy, good to talk with you.
Thanks for having me on today, Bill.
I want to hear about how this all came about, Darcy. How did this Right to Try legislation, what was your thinking behind this, and where is it right now?
Well, in the book, The Right to Try, I tell the story of the beginnings of this movement. And what happened was that the Cancer Treatment Centers for America approached us, and they said they had seen some of our other work. And so they came to us with a problem and asked us if we could develop a solution. And, of course, their job is treating cancer patients. And they said, we've got a real problem on our hands. Some of the conventional treatments are exactly what our patients need, but some of them need some of these cutting-edge developments that are under study at the FDA, and for whatever reason, they can't get into the clinical trial. Maybe it's too far from their home or the criteria are too strict. Is there anything that you can do to help speed access for these patients who otherwise will die? And that was the birth of the Right to Try.
And then this has been going on one state at a time, is that correct?
So, yes, so we developed a piece of legislation, and we've adopted it here in Arizona, and it basically gives the terminally ill the right to try investigational medicines that are under study at the FDA, but haven't gotten that final green light of approval, because as a lot of the listeners know, it takes about 15 years now to get a drug through the FDA. So what that means is when you're putting today's medicines in your body, the latest and greatest, most of those things are over 15 years old. And of course, we know that technology and in medical innovation, that's certainly true. It's advanced so much since then. So we have been able to pass this law in 24 states in just a little bit over a year's time.
And as you say, will this Arizona is now in line. Will this be introduced in the upcoming session?
So in Arizona, we actually were the only state to vote on this. This was on our ballot a year and a half ago, and it received overwhelming support for Arizona from Arizona voters. And so in Arizona, if you have a terminal illness and your doctor is willing to indicate one of these undergoing treatments or drugs for you, and the company is willing to provide it, or whoever the manufacturer might be, then you can have access to these drugs.
Darcy, why did the FDA permit the use of the Ebola drug that had never really ever been tested on human beings? Why would that be fast-tracked while some of these other cancer patients are waiting for a drug that is available, but they cannot get it? I mean, what happened there?
So, Bill, in my book, The Right to Try, I go into some detail here about really the inconsistencies in the FDA standards and what they consider an emergency and what isn't an emergency to them. So, as you say, in the case of the Ebola virus, the FDA permitted the use of a drug that hadn't even undergone any human testing, which in our case, we're advocating for the use of treatments that have gone through at least the basic safety testing, so hadn't even been tested on humans. And we're so glad that they released that because it saved lives. So at the Goldwater Institute, we sent the FDA a Freedom of Information Act request and said, could you please explain to us how you were able to permit this, but in other emergency situations, you don't. They haven't shared that information, and consequently, we are taking them to court because, of course, it's against FDA policy to do that. We would argue that they actually did the right thing. We just wish they would do it for all sorts of things. As one of the mothers that I interviewed in my book, Jen McNary, she said she has two boys with Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, and they, unless they are able to get a treatment, the course of that disease is that they will die by the time they're about 20 years old. And she said, DMD is an emergency to me. My boys are dying, and that is an emergency to us. And I think that what Jen is saying really resonates with almost everyone. It is an emergency when you have a terminal illness, and the same standard that the FDA applied to really allow the use of something that saved lives in the case of Ebola should also be used to save lives in the case of things like cancer and Lou Gehrig's disease and Duchenne's and some of these other terrible fatal illnesses.
And we've heard of Steve Jobs, who certainly had the resources to travel to Switzerland to treat his rare cancer. But what about those everyday folks here in this country who are, that really don't have the mean to travel to a place like Switzerland to get an experimental drug?
Bill, you raise such an important point. And I talk not only about Steve Jobs in the book, but a boy named Diego Morris, who's an Arizona native, who went abroad for a year to London to get a treatment for his osteosarcoma, which saved his life. And what he says, and he fought for this in Arizona for us, he recognizes he was fortunate to be able to go overseas, but we know that for the vast majority of American patients, they can't afford to go overseas. And not only that, Americans shouldn't be forced to do that. We all, even if we have the wealth, we should be able to get treatments at home with our loved ones, our families, our current physicians in our own hospitals. And, you know, the fact is in Europe, they have a system like this where compassionate use is really the norm, and almost everyone can have access to these types of life-saving drugs. We're just a little bit behind.
How do the drug companies feel about this? Would they prefer to have these fast-track drugs? You would think it would be to their advantage, Darcy.
Yes, most of the drug companies, they come in all stripes, so I'm speaking in generalities,
sure.
But largely, a process that takes 15 years and over $1 billion doesn't favor too many companies, right? Unless you're the very largest and it kind of keeps out competitors. So I'd say that most pharmaceutical manufacturers would love to see the trials speeded up. They would love to see what many call provisional access, where they go ahead and put something on the market with the caveat that we're still going to study this for 3 or 4 or 5 more years. We're going to continue reporting results. But because this disease is terminal, it's important that people have access to it.
There is the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, known as CPATH, which tries to get some of these drugs fast-tracked. And our friend Dr. Ray Woosley, the former dean of the UA College of Medicine, is a regular monthly contributor to this radio show. But they can only do so much. But they have done great work in really speeding up drug trials. But more needs to be done, correct?
Oh, yes. And, you know, a lot of times there are drugs already overseas in Europe that are available. So the idea of requiring 3 or 4 or 10 more years of testing is, it's just not common sense. And I'll give you one indication, or just sort of one quick statistic here that is meaningful to folks. When it comes to breast cancer in this country, about 40,000 women this year are going to hear that there are no options, no good treatments left, and that it's really time to put their affairs in order. And what doctors mean is there's nothing left in their particular government-approved toolbox with which they can treat these women. But there are over 25 drugs right now pending the green light at the FDA for breast cancer treatments, and several of them are already available in Europe. So getting access to this, it really can be the difference between life and death.
All right, Darcy Olson will stick around with us for a second segment. We're going to open up now the Buckmaster phone line, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, a very important subject. The book is The Right to Try, and we'll speak more with Darcy Olson after we take this break. Be right back.
Flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. Five Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. Five Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have Five Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call Five Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The Silver City, New Mexico area offers escape from the ordinary. Walk through the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, hike in the Gila National Forest, swim in the Gila River, relax in a hot spring, visit Silver City's historic downtown with its galleries, antique stores, museums, and restaurants. Makes a great getaway from Tucson, just about 3 hours over to that lovely part of southwest New Mexico. And you can find out about all the many places to stay, the wonderful places like Casitas de Gila guest houses and Georgetown cabins by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is Darcy Olson. Darcy is the president of the Phoenix-based Goldwater Institute, a prominent national policy and litigation organization that has really changed hundreds of laws in the last several years and is leading the national campaign to pass right-to-try laws. She is the winner of the prestigious 2014 Bradley Prize and a frequent guest on Fox, and she is the author of a new book just released titled The Right to Try, How the Federal Government Prevents Americans from Getting Life-Saving Treatments They Need. Darcy, what was eye-opening, especially as you began your research about this particular subject?
One of the things that was so striking to me is that we as consumers, we're so patient-centered, and I was thinking that the entire healthcare system was really about patients and about treating patients. At the FDA, it's really about the regulatory process. They're really thinking about getting drugs to market whenever, 10 years, 15, 20 years from now, as long as it's super safe. They're not thinking about, well, what happens to patients in the meantime. In fact, when I interviewed, we interviewed Janet Woodcock, who runs the Center for New Drug Evaluation, and said, do you think theoretically that it would be a good thing if tens of thousands of Americans with fatal illnesses were, you know, if they were able to get access to some of these investigational treatments before they had been finally approved? And she sighed and said, well, it would be another burden on the healthcare system.
Mm.
Another burden. I mean, I was floored, absolutely floored, because, but if you think about it, you know, we're thinking about patients. These are our spouses, our children, our parents, our loved ones, our friends. But if you're at the FDA, it is another burden because your agency isn't set up to treat patients. It's set up to regulate drugs. So asking for a large compassionate use program is not what they're really there to do. And so they look at it as a system rather than as patients. And of course, that's all the more reason for these right to try laws to pass at the state level so that we cut the FDA out of the equation. If your doctor says you need something and it's indicated and the manufacturer says it's okay and we know that it's under study and basically safe, you have the right to take that. You shouldn't have to beg the federal government for permission to save your own life.
Now, the FDA does claim quite a bit of success with their compassionate use policy. I think we need now to articulate, Darcy, what is that policy and does it actually work?
They have a Hail Mary policy. It's been in place for a long time. We actually call it the mythical unicorn because everybody talks about it and it seems beautiful, but no one has ever seen it in use. The FDA says that they grant 99% of the compassionate use requests, but what they neglect to say is that 99% of patients can never even complete the application of terminal patients. And we know, for instance, with cancer patients that more than 40% will try to get into clinical trials. They want access to these things. They want to fight to save their lives. Only 3% will actually get into those clinical trials for a variety of reasons. So the FDA's claim really falls on deaf ears. Even when they do grant compassionate use, and you're talking about maybe 1,000 patients a year, so less than 1% of patients with terminal illnesses, often it's too late. And in the book, The Right to Try, I tell the story of a young woman named Andrea Sloan and how she tried to use the federal government's compassionate use program. And by the time the FDA finally signed off and gave her permission, it was too late for her. She had deteriorated too far. And she passed away. In Texas, legislators actually named it the Andrea Sloan Right to Try Act in her memory and really in honor of her fight.
So, Darcy Olson, what are the critics saying? Why are they opposed to Right to Try?
Some critics, there aren't very many. I mean, this is passing on a vote margin of 99-1 across the country. So as one sponsor said to me, this is a two-minute decision, and the first minute is for a cup of coffee. For most people, this is obvious. You're dying. You're looking to take something that is under study and basically safe. You know, put the lifeboats in the water. Let people take a chance on their lives. But there are some people who say it's just not safe enough, that having conducted basic safety trials is not enough. But we've seen with the FDA, it was okay in the case of Ebola. And as a friend of mine with Lou Gehrig's disease says, Lou Gehrig's disease is 100% fatal. I'd really like the chance. I'd really like the opportunity to take my chances. I'll be the one to decide whether or not something is too dangerous for me.
Yeah, how subjective can you get when you're talking about safety when someone has something like Lou Gehrig's disease and they're willing to take a chance? I mean, how much of a chance is there that they know that they've got very little options here, Darcy?
Exactly, and it's also ironic because under the FDA system, we're basically with these laws giving people access to the same drugs and treatments that are available in the clinical trials under study, and the FDA is okay with that because it's for science. But if you want to do it to be able to try to save your life, somehow that's not okay. And, you know, patients are glad to contribute to science, but they are not tools. They are human beings. So we're trying to open up that door. You know, I did talk to a reporter at the New York Times who raised another objection, which I thought was astonishing, but some people do believe this. He said when it comes to the end-of-life decisions, whether you decide that you'd like to hasten your death with a right-to-die law or you want to try to preserve or extend your life with right-to-try, he believes that you should have a committee of ethicists to help you make that decision. Some people believe that. Certainly, I do not agree with that, but that has been articulated by a few of the opponents.
How about insurance companies? We haven't talked about insurance companies. Isn't it true that most will not pay for investigational or interventions or treatments, so who will pay?
That is correct. Right now, most insurance companies don't pay for these treatments. It can be quite a fight, and I tell the story of a veteran who was trying to get the government to cover him in a clinical trial in the right to try. You know, we don't have to recreate the wheel here. In Europe, because compassionate use is so widespread and it's the norm for people who are dying to be able to try some of these things, the insurance companies generally do cover your treatment. So we think that the market would evolve to help patients. But even if we're wrong about that, or even if there are only a few insurers, when I speak with patients about this, they say, you know, for heaven's sake, I'll figure out a way to pay for this. Give me the option. Don't say that I can't have the option just because an insurer won't pay for it. It's my life. I'll find a way. Or it's my son's life. My community will find a way. So I think insurance is a real question. It needs to be worked out, but it should not be an inhibitor or prevent people from wanting to have the right to try on the table.
All right. The name of the book, The Right to Try, How the Federal Government Prevents Americans from Getting the Life-Saving Treatments They Need. The author is Darcy Olson, the president of the Goldwater Institute. Darcy, thank you for being with us. And where can people get a hold of the book?
Thank you, Bill. DarcyOlson.com is an easy place to get it, the website for the book, or you can go to Amazon, or you can go to the Goldwater Institute. It's called The Right to Try.
Thank you very much, Darcy. Have a great holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Darcy Olson from the Goldwater Institute with us on the Buckmaster Show. This afternoon, we continue with local talk shows from 4 to 5. It is For Tucson at 4, and that, of course, hosted by Mike Shaw. Tomorrow morning, we begin our lineup of local talk from really 6 to 10 now. First 2 hours with Chris and Joe, Wake Up Tucson, Daily Double, Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9, and then Sean McCluskey, the talk of the town, our newest talk show from 9 to 10. I'll be back, cleanup hitter, the Buckmaster Show at 12:04 with Ray Allen. Till then, Thursday, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.